most people associate the notion of sfeikos, of doubts, with something which is very anxiety provoking. We don't like to have doubts in life. And the bachurim usually come to me and talk to me about different things that they're concerned about in life. They don't know who should they marry, which course should they take in college. I'm not going in order of importance necessarily in life. Where should they live? So life is full of doubts. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So I always tell the bachurim that if not for doubts, we wouldn't have so much of Torah. We wouldn't have Sveikat Deraisas, Lechumras, and Sveikat Davan Lekulas, and Rose, and Chazokas, and all the Kali Torah as to what we're supposed to do when we confront doubts. So I thought we'd kind of take this last session today to get a little bit of a better understanding as to how we're supposed to navigate the world of doubts. And we're going to use really two different models, two different examples. I was asked to give, when we were talking about possible topics for this year, so one suggestion was something in Yana Dioma. Another suggestion was something related to Baba Basra, the sech that she was learning. So I think we'll try to after the Kam Shnei, we'll try to do a little bit of both. So we're going to try to speak a little bit about the world of doubts, navigating doubts in the midst of Sfiras HaOmer as a model, as well as in the realm of Baba Basra / Didi Mamonis as a whole. So before we can discuss issues of Sveikos relating to Sfiras HaOmer, let's get just a little bit of a better understanding as to the ABCs of the Mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. As we're well through the Mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer right now, we're definitely past the halfway point. Let's see if we can familiarize ourselves just with the ABCs of Sfiras HaOmer in order to understand how the halacha plays out in terms of doubt in the realm of that mitzvah. So the first of the sugyas of the Mamre Komos is the Gemara Maseches Benachos, Nafsamach Vavam and Aleph, Gufa Omer Abaye, Mitzvah L'mimne Yomi, Mitzvah L'mimne Shavuei. There is a mitzvah to count the days of Sfira, Tisbu Chamishim Yom, and there is a mitzvah to count the weeks, Shiva Shavos Tisbalach. Rabbanon Dvei Rav Ashi, Manu Yomu Manu Shavuei. So the Rabbanon in the Yeshiva Rav Ashi actually did this, which is a very, very strange statement, because we just got finished saying you're supposed to do this. Why does the Gemara have to tell us that's what they did? It's like saying, well, you're supposed to eat matzah on Pesach, and that's what the rabbis did. We know the rabbis, that's our job. We're supposed to try to keep that halacha like everybody else is supposed to keep that halacha. So we'll see in a moment why the Gemara makes a point of highlighting that the Rabbanon the Rav Asher did this. Ameimar mani yomi v'lo mani shavuah, that Ameimar only counted the days and did not count the weeks. Amar zech l'mikdashu, because he was of the opinion that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer today is only mit the Rabbanon, because min ha-Torah there's no korban omer, and therefore there is no mitzvah deraisa of Sfiras HaOmer. And therefore, the mitzvah that we do b'zman hazeh is a very, very watered-down kind of a mitzvah, and there's no need to do it in its entirety, and therefore just count the days and don't bother counting the weeks. So now we understand why the Rabbanan de Be'er Rav Ashi had to be highlighted that they disagreed, that they said, no, we must count the weeks b'zman hazeh. It is unclear why they disagreed with what Amemar said. Did they disagree that they fundamentally held that Sfiras HaOmer today is min ha-Torah, and it's not linked to the Korban HaOmer? Or was the opinion of the Rabbanon de Rav Ashi, even if it's only the Rabbanon, it still would be appropriate to replicate the mitzvah identically to the way it was done, b'zman shebes ha-mikdash ha-yakayim? So that's already a much more loaded question in terms of Sfiras HaOmer, what conclusion we should draw in terms of isfira deraisa, isfira derabbanon. But the Balei HaTosfos definitely worked with the assumption that the final word of the sugya is zech le-mikdash, that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh is not a mitzvah min ha-Torah. The mitzvah deraisa is incumbent upon the Korban HaOmer, and in the absence thereof, the entire Sfiras HaOmer today, lock, stock, and barrel, is only midirabbanon. And therefore, Tosfos has the following suggestion. Tosfos writes in the second of the Maamar Komos, Nira would appear, the besafik chashecha. What if it is only a suffik, whether the next day has arrived? It is what we call ben hashmashos. It is between the time when the sun has set and the stars haven't come out yet. So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos, that's called the Sufik Yom Sufik Laila. Tosfos writes, it's okay, you can count Sfira at that point. Nira de Besavich HaShecha Yochel Avarech. You can count Sfira, and you can even recite a bracha on the Sfira HaOmer. Ve'ein Tzach Mahamten Ad She'ei Vadeh Laila. There is no reason to wait until it gets for sure dark. Kevin Shu Sveika Derabonim, because after all, the mitzvah of Sfira is only mit Derabonim. So it is very clear from Tosfos several assumptions. Number one, if Sfiras HaOmer would have been deraisa, which Tosfos is assuming is not correct, but if that would have been correct, then one would not have the right to count during Menashmashos. because Sveika deraisa l'chumra. The same way we're not allowed to do malacha on Friday afternoon ben hashmashos, we're not allowed to do malacha on Motzei Shabbos ben hashmashos, because vis-a-vis all dinim deraisa, we have to err on the side of caution. We would have been required to err on the side of caution for Sfiras HaOmer as well. The only reason why it's perfectly acceptable to count during Ben HaShmashos is because we hold that Sfira Bizman Hazeh is only Midirabanan. Obviously, anyone who argues with the basic premise who suggests that Sfira today is Deraisa, we clearly argue with Tosus' conclusion. It happens to be the Rambam is the one who argues with Tosus, but right now we're going to go Be'ikvos HaTosus. So in the world of the Balei HaTosus, that Sfira Bizman Hazeh is only Midirabanan, it's only a Zeich LaMikdash. So Taisa said, it's perfectly acceptable, it's perfectly legitimate to count during Ben HaShmashos. Now we know that this Tosus is not just academic, this is very practical for us. Many, many shuls, many, many members of Klal Yisrael actually practice this all the time. Many shuls daven Mincha right before Shkia, and then they daven Meir right after Shkia. And by the time they get to Sfiras HaOmer, it's a few minutes after Shkia, and they go ahead and they make a bracha and they count Sfira, and everybody goes home. What right do they have to do that? How do they know they were even Yotzei? So the answer is, well, they don't know. We're not sure. That's exactly what you're allowed to do, because Sfiras HaOmer today is only Midrabanan. This is the view of Tosfos, and this is the pretty much accepted practice in many, many shuls Bizman Hazeh. However, the Ran, in the third of the Mamakomos, has an issue with the Balei HaTosfos. The Ran says that even if Tosfos Cheshbon is correct, that Sfira today is Midrabanan, which is, again, is by far not agreed upon by everybody, but even if Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is only Midrabanan, there is still a serious concern with counting Sfira during Ben HaShmashos based on the following. So the Ran begins, Ulefika Chamu B'Tosfos, the came in the Midrabanan he, Tov Lispor B'Yom Rishon B'Savich HaShecha. So first of all, the Ran quotes Tosfos that doesn't exactly say it. Tosfos has a little bit further on the Tosfos, past the point that we cut off, but the Ran makes reference to an idea that appears later on in Tosfos, that not only are you permitted to count Ben HaShmashos, it is actually preferable to. You actually gain something, you accomplish something by counting Ben HaShmashos. Now, what in the world could you possibly gain? Why in the world would you think that it's actually preferable to count your Ben HaShmashos? So the Ran throws a curveball at us. Because the Torah says that the days of Sfira have to be tamimos, have to be complete, and that's in fact the source why we count in the evening, why we don't count in the morning, because of the mitzvah of tamimos, that's considered to be more of a complete count. So Tosfos seems to understand that the earlier you count, the more tamimos it is. So if you have a choice to count at 11 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night, it's better to count at 9 o'clock at night, because then you chop more of the day as a Yom Tomim. And then Tosfos goes one step further. Well, if technically you could be Yotzei Ben HaShmashos, because Tosfos holds you can, because Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula, so then you should in fact try to count Ben HaShmashos. It would be better to count Ben HaShmashos, because that way you would get a greater enhancement of the mitzvah of Tamimus. So we just went from originally thinking, why in the world are we rushing to count Ben HaShmashos? Why don't we wait till it gets dark? Why should we rely on a kula of a doubt? And now Tosfos is turning the tables on us and saying, not only can you rely on the doubt, you should rely on the doubt. It's preferable to live your life in a doubt that we should have 49 days every day, is to count as early as possible. That's what Tosfos suggests, that the Ran quotes in the name of Tosfos. So the Ran takes issue with this. The Ran says, "V'ein zeh nochon." This entire Tosfos is not correct. Why? Shiyachnis atzmo b'sofik l'chadchila. Why in the world should you set yourself up for a doubt? What does the Ran mean with that critique of Tosfos? So the Ran clearly is assuming as follows. This principle called Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula, one could raise a hakira, one could raise a question, what are the parameters of this halacha? One could understand Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula meaning that it's perfectly legitimate and it's acceptable to run our entire D'Rabbanan Tikka set of rules with the premise everything is a safek, whenever there's a doubt, and gegus of the hate, it's mutal l'chadchila shebechadchila to live your life based on Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula. Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula is not a bidiyevet. Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula is not a shesed chak. Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula is not, you know, with a kvetch, with a krechts. Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula is good, is right, is wholesome, is acceptable. Kach tiktu chachamim, that you're allowed to rely on it, and there's no hesitation whatsoever. So the Ran says he doesn't think that's right. he thinks that Sabed Yabam the coolest, the guy who messed up, the guy who forgot, the guy who's not sure, the guy who'll be the Evid, the guy who's Shasat Chak, he's afraid he's going to forget. Okay, so you have all kind of cheshbonos. Why in the imperfect world you can rely upon Sabed Yabam the Kula? But to lechatchila live your life based on Sabed Yabam the Kula, that's totally inappropriate. And therefore the Ran takes issue with Tosis. What about the other part of Tosis? When Tosis said, don't you gain by counting early? So the Ran says, nah, the imishim tamimos, ain't lahachra b'tirus was about a zesher d'rabbanon, t'vevi b'sfir d'raisa. In the olden days, says the Ran, when Sfiras Omer was d'raisa, nobody advocated counting during ben hashmashos. Elakosha sofa balayla tamimos kareena bay. Tamimos just means count at night and don't wait till the daytime. It doesn't mean that you have to count earlier in the night. Let's say, for example, I want to daven at the 11 o'clock Ma'ariv. I learn night set, and I always daven Ma'ariv after night set, 11 o'clock. So all of a sudden, during Sfira, I have to go run to daven at the 8:30 Ma'ariv. Like, Mehecha Taisa, we don't find this anywhere in Halacha, except for in Tosis. So comes around and says that there's no great mitzvah to go run to count early. Not only is there no great mitzvah to run to count early, there's actually you lose something by counting early, because you're running into the issue of Ein Osin Safek Derabbanan Mekula Lechatchila. So now, although the Machlokes Tosis and the Ran is playing out for us practically speaking, as we mentioned, many, many people rely on Tosis, but many others don't. Many have the practice today not to count during Ben Hashmashos, actually for two reasons. One is because they're concerned with the Rambam, who maintains that Sfira today is Deraisa, so for sure you shouldn't be counting during the Safek of Ben Hashmashos. And even if Tosis is right, that Sfira is Vavazez Derabbanan, it's still preferable, according to the Ran, not to count at that point. Why rely on Sveikah Dabar Makula Chachila when you don't have to? So there are really two different practices in the Jewish people today. Those are just the Chachila, Daven Ma'arif, 10 minutes after Shkia, they count and go home and that's it. And there are others who say, no, we're not going to do that, we're going to wait till later. What is the more correct of these two practices? So there's a little bit of a tailor-made psak, a little bit of a personalized psak. It depends on just how realistic is the concern that you're going to forget the count Sfira later. So the Shulchan Aruch was very, very worried that people are going to forget the count later. Because in the olden days, when you left shul, the odds of you remembering to count Sfira are very, very small. You weren't bombarded with 4,000 different reminders like we have as Zman Hazeh. So in the olden days, the only fighting chance you had to remember to count Sfira was if you came to shul. So the person's going to be very from, I'm not being Ma'ariv at the early minyan because there's no late Ma'ariv in town. I'm going to go home, I'm going to remember, no problem, I'm going to remember to count Sfira. Yeah, that may work some of the nights, but you're probably going to miss a few nights here and there, and that's not a good thing to do. So if you lived in the old world, what do? So it's probably the safer is the option that the Tosis says, is to count earlier and literally call it a night. If you remember later to count without a bracha again, yes, that's ace, so that's wonderful. But the Ikra did, it's probably was better in the olden days to rely on Tosis. Whereas Bizman Hazeh, Baruch Hashem, we have many, many other options available for us. The odds that a guy's going to forget Sfira Omer today, how many reminders do we have? Like everything else in life, we have 4,000 different reminders. These guys got emails coming a mile a minute. He's got his texts, his WhatsApps, his alarms are going off. He's got all over the place reminding him to count Sfira. It's interesting, the only night of the week that's the most difficult to remember is Friday night. That's always the biggest problem, because many people daven early Friday night. And very often you don't even have that option of counting Ben Hashmashos. If you go into the early minyan, that minyan is done before an hour before Shkia. So when are you going to count exactly? So then you really have to train yourself to remember, and there are no emails coming. There shouldn't be any emails coming. No texts, no nothing, no WhatsApp, nothing's coming to remind you. So what do? Gevalt. So the truth is that usually we don't, our family usually daven at the late minyan, because we have enough trouble getting ready for the late minyan, so we're not from the biggest reason for the early minyan. But this particular Friday night, we had something came up that we had a daven at the early minyan. So it was the first time of Sfira this year that we davened at the early minyan. So I had to go back to the old style, what we used to do when the kids were a little younger, little kids. We used to daven more often at the early minyan during the weeks of Sfira. So I built in my own great mazgir, my great reminder. The great reminder is called the good old sitter. Open up the Sfira's Omer sitting on my pillow. That means if I lay down on my pillow and my head hits the sitter and I see that's open the Sfira. It's interesting because I should really have two sidurim on my pillow. One open up the Kriya Shema and one open up the Sfira. So I always put an open up the Sfira because it's a kavachoyman. If I remember, if I see the sitter remind me to count Sfira, then I have a fighting chance if I remember Kriya Shema also. If I keep it open to Kriya Shema, and just because I remember to count Kriya Shema, I forget that it's Sfira. So I say usually Sfira is the Yesh B'chol Masayimana. I could really, you know, actually put two sidurim there. It was Rachmanus on the sidurim of the shul. I have to break one of one sitters binding. It sits the whole Friday night open. So no. Anyway, back to the story. So we have two different practices as to what our take is, assuming Sfiras Derabanan. According to the Rambam must have been listening to the red shear, the purple shear, some other shear, because according to the Rambam, the shear is irrelevant. According to the Rambam, so this Sfiras Deraisin is Manazah. Of course, you have to wait to Tzitz Gechavim. But most of us who follow the view that Sfiras are in Derabanan, so then the further Machlekes stays in the Ran, is it okay lechet chilush lechet chilush to counter on Benash Mashas? So this idea that the Ran develops for us, actually in contrast to Tosis, that that Sveikin Derabanan Lechula is not the greatest thing in the world. We should really try to avoid it if we can. So this is a theme that appears actually in other places in the Ran. Most notably, I didn't realize when I was preparing the Shia that it was actually going to be Pesach Sheni. So I guess we can make believe that this is the Inyan HaDiyum of Pesach Sheni, although there is no din of drinking Dalai Kaisis on Pesach Sheni night. But at least it's a little bit make believe Inyan HaDiyum. So there is a famous Gemara in the 4th of the Ramakomos, in Maseches Pesachim, and Daf Kuf Chesem and Aleph, where the Gemara discusses the din of Haseba, the mitzvah of leaning on the Leil HaSeder. The leaning of the Leil HaSeder is most probably the Rabbanon. The Rambam has a little bit of a formulation that it may be a kiyum min HaTorah, because the Rambam seems to understand that min HaTorah one is supposed to physically demonstrate that they left Mitzrayim in some shape or form. And therefore the Rambam includes Shtiyas Dalakosos and Haseba as part of those kiyumim min HaTorah. But the simple pshat halacha is that the drinking of the Dalakosos and the Haseba and everything is all mit the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says it's a davar pashut that you have to do Haseba during the drinking of the Kosos. I left out the word Dalakosos. Of the Kosos. The same way Chazal instituted Haseba, you have to lean when you eat the matzah. So you have to lean when you drink the Dalakosos as well. So the only problem the Gemara has is that we're not sure which of the four kosos you have to do a seva for. One thing we know for a fact is not for all four. Nobody really holds you have to do a seva at all four. Which ones do you have to do a seva for? So the Gemara has the following machlekes. Take a look at the fourth of the Ramakamos. Yain, itma b'shved Rav Nachman tzorech haseva, itma b'shved Rav Nachman ein tzorech haseva. So some said in the name of Rav Nachman that the kosos do require a seva, and some said not. For lo pligi, there was not a machlekes. There's a difference between the first two kosos and the last two kosos. So what's the difference? There are two different versions as to how we should divide up the kosos. Some say the first two kosos require a seba. Because that's really when the cheiros is. We're really all psyched up for the beginning of the seder. That's when we're celebrating cheiros. Trey Kasi Basroi, by the end of the Seder, by benching already, Lobo HaSeba. Why my Dava? It's already an old story. We're ready, by the time we get to Chagaj, nobody needs a Seba anymore. That means the hype of the big excitement of the Seder is the beginning. But Amulullah HaGisan, others say the other way around. Adraba, Trey Kasi Basroi HaSeba. The real HaSeba should be for the second Kosos. Hai Shaykh to the Kahav Yecheres, because that's when we're really free. By the end of the Seder, we're taka free. Whereas Trey Kasi Kamoi, Lobo HaSeba. Whereas the first two kosos don't require a seva, the katiyav adam ayinu kama. We still have adam. That transformation takes place around approximately multi matzah time. So we have a machlokes from one extreme to the other. Everybody agrees you need a seva sometimes. Everyone agrees you don't need a seva for all four. What do you do? So the Gemara has the startling psak. Hash to the itmahachi. The itmahachi idvidi bo a seva. Since there are different opinions in both ways, and we don't have a clear conclusion, therefore all four kosos require a seva. Adkan the Psach of the Gemara, and that's of course the common practice. Adi Amazeh, that's what says the Shulchan Aruch. All four kosos require a seva. So take a note of the fact that it's the Ran in the fifth of the Ramakamos, who poses the next question. He asks the Ran, the Hashta the Itmahach Itmahachi Kulubo a seva. The Avagav the Alma Kaimelat Ibcha says the Ran, based on the regular rules of Halacha, actually the opposite should be true. The Chol Sveikin Drabanan Lekula. We should always paskin all sveikas lekula. We should always paskin. After all, Haseba is only midrabbana. Notice that the Ran is not going down the route of the Rambam. It's not even in Havamina that Haseba is some kind of a deraisa dekakiyum. The Ran is asking, it's a plain and simple mitzvah derabbanan. So why don't we say sveika derabbana lekula? And therefore, what should we do? That's not exactly what the Ran wants. Does the Ran mean we should do the first two, the last two, none? But one thing the Ran says clearly is not a correct psach There's no reason whatsoever to do all four. Why in the world should we be so strict, so machmir, if a seif is only midrabbanan? So the Ran suggests two terutzim to this kasha. It's actually the second terutz of the Ran that's the more famous of the two, but we're going to focus, at least for now, on the first terutz. So the Ran says the reason why we have no choice, that we have to be machmir against the otherwise rules of sveikad rabban lakula, hacha came in the lav milsa de tirchahi. It's not such a tircha, it's not such a big deal. Therefore, avdidim l'rafcha de milsa, kach pirshuzal. So the Ran quotes from earlier sources that it's not so difficult. After all, it's not that you're not drinking the wine. Everyone's drinking four cups of wine. So the nafkamina is as follows. Am I drinking like this? Am I drinking like this? So I'm drinking anyway. The only nafkamina is how many more stains am I going to make on my kittel? So it's not so terrible, says the Ran. So if anyway you're drinking the wine, so sveika d'rabban l'kula should not be something you should just fall back upon. What is the Ran basically telling us? He's basically telling us a tremendous yesod. That sveika d'rabban l'kula means I'm not mechuyev to bend over backwards to fulfill mitzvahs d'rabbanan b'mokom sofek. That sveika d'rabbanan l'kula means that you're not mechuyev to be matriach when it's a b'diyavet, it's a shasar chak, a mokom hefset, things of that nature. But if life is so easy, you could so simply just bend a little bit to the side and chaparai the mitzvah d'rabbanan b'seba. Like, why are you being such a cheapskate? Why are you cheating the halacha? Why are you being makel for? So what is the Ran basically telling us? He's telling us a fundamental yesod that sveikad rabban l'kula is not great. We don't look at you with a sveikad rabban l'kula and say, yeah, the world's great, everything's phenomenal, and you're living up to the highest standards of halacha. No, you're not. Sveikad rabban l'kula means, listen, Chazal built into the picture, they built into the system, that it's only d'rabbanan anyway, so therefore we're not going to drive you crazy, we're not going to make you matriach, we're not going to make you lose money, we're going to let you get away, you have to, with sveikad rabban l'kula. But to say that we're going to live our lives, sveikad rabban l'kula, everything is hunky-dory, everything is great, just be making it all sveikas and call it a day, that's not right, that's not appropriate. And therefore, the Ran says, when it comes to our seif, it's so easy to avoid, you should try to avoid it. So this idea of the Ran is definitely in sync with what the Ran said before about Tzivus HaOmer. The same way that the Ran frowned upon the practice of the Balei HaTosfos to just count Tzvira, 10 minutes after Shkia, and say, this is great, everything is wonderful, this is fantastic. Not so fantastic, says the Ran. Sveikad rabban l'kula should be avoided if it can be avoided. So this Ran is very, very much l'shita asad. What if you don't go down the root of the Ran? What if you go down the root of the Balei HaTosfos, who seem to understand that sveikad rabban l'kula is the greatest thing under the sun? It's the mahadir and mahadir. You can't say that I'm any less from because I'm relying on sveikad rabban l'kula. There is nothing wrong, even l'chadchila, relying upon sveikad rabban l'kula. So how would you explain as to why the Gemara says you have to do a seif in all four? So here the Ran gives the second answer, which is actually his own answer, which is the more popular of the two answers. The lean era, the akorchok boil the mevet a seif in b'kulim. Says the Ran, you have to do a seif in all four because there's no choice. The inezel l'kula, amay nachabahani tfei mehani. That if you want to go down the route of sveikad rabban l'kula, let's play it out for a moment. What would that mean? I'm going to be mekel not to do a seif in the first two kosas, like mechet esek. I'm going to be mekel not to do a seif on the last two kosas, mechet esek. How do you know which one is more mistapa than the other? The Gemara says that we don't know which is the right one, which are the wrong ones. So what do you mean you're going to pick and choose? I'm going to choose the first two and you're going to choose the last two? It doesn't make any sense. Be nakal b'travayu. The person is going to say, well, sveikad rabban l'kula, I don't have to do a seif at all. When it comes to the first two kosas, I'm not going to do it because I'm going to hide behind sveikad rabban l'kula. And then when it comes to the last two kosas, I'm going to hide behind vayta sveikad rabban l'kula. Hami akra mitzvah seif l'gamri. That's going to undermine the entire mitzvah. That's the lashon that we use, is that's a sveikad rabban l'kula b'makom taita disasri. You're contradicting yourself. You can't both be right. Two of the kosas require a seif. That was never up for discussion. We're not sure which ones do and which ones don't. So says the Ran, you can't hide behind sveikad rabban l'kula. So the bottom line is we have two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim as to what our take is on sveikad rabban l'kula when it's very, very easy to avoid. So the Ran, backed by Tzivus HaOmer, and the Ran by Haseiba, the first answer of the Ran is taking the approach that if it's easy, then don't do it. If it's difficult, then we'll give you a freebie. And other day is the Shabbos HaTosfos, or maybe the second answer of the Ran is saying, no, that sveikad rabban l'kula is great, it's wonderful, we have no qualms, no hesitations about doing sveikad rabban l'kula. Again, as long as it meets the criteria, meets the rules of sveikad rabban l'kula, when you have a tithe and a sasre, so that may be an exception to the rule. So this idea of Sveikos, particularly in terms of Sfiras HaOmer, actually opens up a world for us in terms of a fundamental question about Sveikos, the Pratius Tikadin, the detail that Halachas relates to Sfiras HaOmer, that goes way beyond Sfiras HaOmer proper. That's a famous question that the Baal HaMor raises in the end of Maseches Pesachim, in the sixth of the Ma'amakamos. So the Baal HaMor asks a few questions about Sfiras HaOmer, but the one that we're going to focus on is the last one. It's the third line of the Baal HaMor, the sixth of the Ma'amakamos, so it's the middle of the line, the Ode. Matam einanu sofrim shtei Sfiras misafek, kamoshanu osim shein shnei yom tov misafek. He asks the Baal HaMor, we who live in Chutz Laretz, so we are bound by the halachas of Sveika Diyoma. The Gemara explains to us that at one time in history, Sveika Diyoma was an even more serious halacha. It was a real bona fide suffix, or at least it was treated as a real suffix, but they really didn't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. So if you really don't know which day is Rosh Chodesh, you have to be careful not to do malacha on both days. You have to make sure to eat matzah on both days. You have to make sure to perform the mitzvah sayom on both days. Then the Gemara tells us in Maseches Beitza, that was true in the olden days when they used to be Mekadesh Techodesh HaPiriya, when it was based on when the witnesses saw the moon and then the messengers would go out and the messengers didn't make their way to Chutz Laretz, it was too far away, so the people who lived in Chutz Laretz really didn't know what to do. So then there was a real suffix, there was a bona fide suffix, and they had to live their lives accordingly. The Gemara Maseches Beitza, in the beginning of Beitza, raised the question, Bizman Hazeh, we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is, because we don't even have Kiddush HaPiri anymore. We didn't even have the messages anymore. The whole system broke down once the Sanhedrin stopped functioning, perhaps even before that. So the people in Chutz Laretz knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh was going to be, because we have a luach, we have a calendar, we have a whole different setup, a whole different approach to how we declare Rosh Chodesh Bizman Hazeh. So when I'm sitting in the Bergenfield, I know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is, not one iota less than the Jews living in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara raised the question, so why in fact do we keep Sveika Diyoma Bizman Hazeh? So the Gemara says that this question was an old question. It was actually posed by the Chachmei Bavo and sent as a message to the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. And the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael responded back to them, Yizar B'Benigav Yisechem, that we should continue to do what we did. And it's a little bit unclear why they said that. It's clear what they said, it's not clear why they said that. So the bottom line is that Nimnu Begom, there's no Shaila, no Suffolk. I mean, Suffolk is a funny word to use in this kind of thing, but there's no Suffolk that we have to observe Yom Tov Sheni Bizman Hazeh. That's explicit Gemara in Maseches Beitza. I remember I was once listening to people having a conversation. One said to the other, gee, I got a great idea. You know, now we have a calendar. Maybe we can do away with this Yom Tov Sheni. And the other said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. How come nobody thought of it? Nobody thought of it. 1700 years ago already they thought of it. And it was rejected. They said, that's not true. So this is an old, old story. So the bottom line is, these are going to give a second. The din is you have to keep Yom Tov Sheni, of course, as we do with Bizman Hazeh. So he asks the Baal HaMor, why don't we keep Yom Tov Sheni for Sfiras HaOmer? It's every day of Sfira, we should count two Sfiras. So on the first night of Sfira, the second night of what we call the second night of Pesach, so we should start counting. And then the next night we should count two and maybe one. And three and maybe two. And four and maybe three. Every night we should keep on counting. We suffix the same way we do everything else. We suffix. We keep Pesach, we suffix extra days and sukkahs and shul. All the Yom Tov, we observe the Sfeik of the Yom. So why don't we observe the Sfeik of the Yom of Sfiras HaOmer? That's the famous question of the Baal HaMor. So the Baal HaMor, in the seventh of the Ma'amar Kamos, gives the answer. He says, "V'mbanu lispo beis sviras b'sofek nimtzei svira shniya moshechas ad yantif rishon shal atzeres also lezuzula b'yantif tereis." So says the Baal HaMor, fundamentally we really should do this. According to pure Torah logic, we should actually institute a sveik in the yoma for sviras HaOmer. The only reason why we don't do this, says the Baal HaMor, is that look at the consequences of such a practice. So everything's going to be great when it comes to the first night and the second night and Lag BaOmer. Everything's going to be wonderful until you get to Shavuos night. So when you get to Shavuos night, so this is what davening is going to look like. So the chazan is going to get up and they're going to say Baruch Hu with a yantav tikkun nigin. Everyone's going to daven Yom Shavuos hazeh, and everyone they can already smell the cheesecake and everyone's all ready for the night of learning and everyone's all ready to roll. And then by the way, right before we leave shul, what does the rabbi get up and say? Says, by the way, guys, misafek hayom, today is maybe it's the 49th day of Sfira. That doesn't look very good. That's going to detract, that's going to be a zilzol of the Yom Tov Deraisa of Shavuos. As we said before, we know that it's Shavuos Deraisa. We know that the first day of Pesach was the first day of Pesach, and the second night of Pesach was the second night of Pesach. Our Sfira is almost 100% Kedasa Chadin. We have absolutely no hesitation. We have no real suffix. The whole thing is not a real suffix. And therefore, argues the Baal HaMor, it's very nice to observe Yom Tosheni, but you have to be very, very careful, because you want to be so makbid and so machmid to count to observe Yom Tosheni. That's wonderful, but not at the expense of Yom Tov Deraisa. You can't keep the dinim of Yom Tov Sheni if it impinges and it takes away the tracks from the Kedusha, from the proper celebration of Yom Tov Deraisa. All other Yom Tov Shenis, what's the big deal? So let's say we make a second Seder. So what's the terrible loss of making a second Seder? What do you take away from Chol HaMoed night? So what, one less night of Chol HaMoed, what's so terrible? It's not taken away from Chol HaMoed. Well, you observe the second day of Shavuos, you dance on Sukkos Torah. So you're observing, so what are you taking away from? You're taking away from Yisroel Chag, you're taking away from Yom Chol, what are you taking away from? So you have nothing to lose by observing Yom Tosheni. But just the way the lineup of Yom Tov are, that if you makbid on the last day of Sfirsa Omer to observe Yom Tosheni, that's going to shter, that's going to denigrate the Yom Tov Deraisa, and that we have no right to do. So that's exactly what the Gemara tells us in the Edom Maseches Sukkah, why Chazal were in a very, very serious predicament when it came to the Sveika Diyoma, the Yom Tov Sheni of the last day of Sukkos. The last day of Sukkos is Shana Rabba, and now on the next day in Chutz Laaretz, which we call, of course, Shmini Atzeres, it is Shmini Atzeres Ben Torah. Wait a second, it's still a Sofek of Hoshana Rabba. We have we have a Sofek when it comes to Shmini Atzeres. Hey, wait a second, let's make believe like we're supposed to. Maybe it's really Shmini Shel Sukkos. If it's still Shmini Shel Sukkos, we should be eating in the Sukkah. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you're going to eat in the Sukkah? And you're going to make a Leishah of a Sukkah? That's a disgrace to Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is the Yom Tov Deraisa. So what do you do? So we're mamash in a pickle. On the one hand, we have to eat in the Sukkah because it's a Sufik Shvi. And number two, it's Shmini Atzeres, which is Deraisa. So Chazal thought and thought and thought, how can we have people eating in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres and not disgracing Shmini Atzeres? So they came up with the following compromise. We'll eat in the Sukkah, but we won't make a bracha. So since we won't make a bracha, everyone's going to realize this is not the real makoy. This is not the real thing. So our hands are tied. Chazal's mamash had no choice. So they formed it in a very, very bizarre Yom Tov Sheni. Normally, we would never do that. The Gemara says that when they instituted Yom Tov Sheni, they said, make brachas. We make brachas at the second Seder. We make brachas at Lachas Neighbors. We make brachas at Halal and Sukkos Torah. We always make brachas on Yom Tov Sheni. We should zilzul Yom Tov Sheni, because if you're going to do mitzvahs without brachas, psychologically people aren't going to take the mitzvah so seriously. But here, this was the only time that Chazal's hands were literally tied. They could not make the bracha on Yom Tov Sheni, because making a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni would be a zilzul for the Yom Tov Deraisa. So I have the strange ability right now. This is based on the logistics over here. I'm going to quote something from Rabbi Willard. So even if you're on a yellow microphone, you don't have to turn on the green microphone. I'm going to tell you what he said. I know what he's talking about now. I can tell you what he said 35 years ago in the following. So I remember he once had a fascinating hara. He said that Chazal tell us that if we don't make brachas, it's going to lead to a zilzul. People aren't going to take the mitzvah so seriously. So the only Yom Tov Sheni that Chazal's hands were mamish tied, they couldn't make a bracha, was Nebuch, the sitting in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. So what happened? We'll leave it to your imagination. That's exactly what happened. So people didn't take it seriously. So all of a sudden, we have the different Menhagim, eating the Sukkah, not in the Sukkah. Yeah, no, maybe so. This is not a shiur on, I did not come during the days of Svira at the Yom Iyun to discuss the pros and cons of eating in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. That wasn't the goal for this year. But I couldn't hold back the quote of my will. This is Omer B'Shem Omro, literally at the same time. So the yellows and the greens just share their radio waves together. Okay, back to the story. So, the bottom line is the Baal HaMor did not fundamentally have issues with counting 2 days of Sfira notice. He just said you can't do it for logistical reasons, but fundamentally you really can count 2 days of Sfira. It's based on this Baal HaMor that the Dvar Avram was the Rav in Kovna right before he was the last Rav in Kovna. He was Niftar right before Kovna was destroyed. So the Dvar Avram as a Chiddush Gadol. At first he suggests that what would the din be if a person finds themselves in a desert island, they have no idea what day it is, and they're trying to count Svira. So what should they do? So the Dvar Avram says they shouldn't waste their time counting altogether. You know why? Because that's not called counting. If you don't know what you're counting, there's Nishkein Svira. means you want to do a mitzvah, you want to eat matzah misafik, you can eat matzah misafik. You want to shake a lulah misafik, shake a lulah misafik. You want to send the sukkah misafik. You can't count today is three if you don't know whether it's three. It's three, or it's two, or it's four, or it's 18. Yeah. What kind of sphere is that? That by definition is not called a sphere. So the Dravra Me'atzma wrote a Shtikul Torah that if you don't know whether what day of sphere is, don't waste your time counting. And then he retracted. He said, he realized later he's against the Balamor. Because the Balamor asked, let's count misafik. And the Balamor says, ooh, what a great idea. Except for the fact that you can't, because it's gonna run into Shavuos problems. But if not for that logistical, technical problem, it would have been perfectly okay to count me suffix. So you see, I'm wrong, says the Dvar Avraham. The sphere of me suffix is considered to be a sphere. So I call upon him. Up until now, we've discussed the role of Sveikis. Sveikis Dvar Lekula, Sveikis Dvar Reis Lechumra, suffix in spheres, interplay with the Yontif Sheni of Sveikis. As it relates to the Nyan Diyoma, now we're going to move over to the second half of the Shiur. I didn't say that the second half is going to be a perfect balance in terms of the amount of time, but we'll try to spend a little bit of time on Sveikis in terms of a different area of Halacha. And that's the realm of Dini Momenus. Baruch Hashem, we've had this chus this year in the Yeshiva to learn Maseches Bet Basra. Many of the Shurim spent a lot of time in Cheses about them, as Shiur included. And one of the main themes that comes up throughout Bet Basra and throughout Dini Momenus in general is the notion, what do you do when you have Sveikis and Dini Momenus? We're not sure who is the rightful owner of the property. What do you do from here? So looking around at some of the Talmidim in the Shia, we've mentioned this once or twice, or at least 1,000 or 10,000 times during the course of the year. So we'll try to give a little bit of a recap. We'll try to, it's kind of hard to do justice to all the rules of Sveikis and Dini Momenus in 15 minutes, but we'll try to do, just to give you a little bit of the highlights of one of the most the key components in terms of Sveikis as they relate to Dini Momenus. So the sugya actually begins in Bava Kamma, in the fifth, the eighth of the Mamre Kamos. It's the beginning of the fifth parak of Bava Kamma, where the Mishnah tells us, Shor shenoches hapara v'nimtzu ubra b'tzida. A ox gored a cow, and lo and behold, we find that not only is the cow now dead, but now there's a dead fetus also. There's an uber as well. There's a famous joke in the yeshivas. It's not a good joke, but we'll tell it anyway. You'll judge, but it's a good joke. Where, you know, they... the Shiva Bach is learning the beginning of the fifth parak of Bava Kamma. So he starts out, Shoshna, Chesapara, an ox gored a cow. So he asks the Kasha, ooh, why does it say a cow? Why doesn't it say Shoshna, Chesashor? That's what the other Mishnah say. So he gives the Shtichot Torah, oh, the reason why it says Apara is because of this. And then his Chavrusi asks, no, maybe a different idea. They spend 3 days trying to figure out why. Oh, now Baruch Hashem, they feel that they finished the Sugya, time to move on. The Nimta Uber Betzida, the reason the Mishnah says Apara is because most of the time, not most of the time, all the time, if there's a fetus, that means it was a cow. It wasn't the shor. Oxen generally don't give birth to ubers. So sometimes it's important to learn the end of the Mishnah to understand what the beginning of the Mishnah meant. So back to our story. So the shor gores a cow. And we know that the cow was killed by the shor. That's not a question. But we're not sure if the goring was what caused this miscarriage. The ein yadua. Actually, no chayolda. Mishnah chayolda. We don't know whether the goring caused the miscarriage, or maybe the miscarriage preceded the goring. So the question becomes, do I have to pay money or not? So clearly I have to pay you for the para, do I have to pay you for the uber, for the fetus? So we happen to be talking about a short time here anyway. It's an ox that gored the first 3 times. So even whatever we know you have to pay for, we're going to cut that in half right away. So the Mishnah gives what seems to be a very logical psak. Mishalim chatzi nezek lapara. You pay half the amount of the para because we know for a fact that my shor killed your cow. So let's say, if I'm going to say the cow was worth $1,000, so we know that I owe you $1,000, but not really $1,000, it's split in half because it's the shor tam. We're via nezek levlad, but now we calculate how much is the fetus worth, and then I pay you not a half of what it's worth, but actually a quarter of what it's worth. Because if we knew for a fact that I caused the death of your fetus, I would pay chatzi of the fetus. That's a short time. Since we don't know, so I pay half of that, and that's what the Gemara calls a mamon hamutal b'sofek. So that's what the Gemara says in the ninth of the Mamre Kamos. I'm reviewing the Mishmuel. Zil divrei sumchus. This Mishnah follows the Tana sumchus. Sumchus is the Talmud Luvuk of Rabbi Meir. The mamon hamutal b'sofek cholken. Sumchus' view was that whenever you have a doubt in Dini Momenus, we have no idea. Maybe I am have to pay for the half value. Maybe I'm part of the gamre. What do? You split it. That's the view of sumchus. Moment of mutl b'safik. It sounds very fair, very logical to me. The only problem is only sumchus said it. The chacham said it's not true. that the rule that permeates all of the Nimamunus is Hamotze Mechavei Alav Araya. You want to get reimbursed for your fetus? Prove that my ox gored and killed your fetus. Since nobody knows that, I don't know, you know, nobody knows that. So therefore, we apply a different rule called Hamotze Mechavei Alav Araya. So here in this sugya, we have a very, very basic, the most fundamental machlokes hatanoim between Subchus and everybody else. What do you do when you have a split in mammon? We have no idea whether Reuben's chayav to pay the body or not. So according to Subchus, split it 50-50, that's it. And according to the Chum, no, you don't split it 50-50. Rather, we apply the rule of Amotzer Chaveh Alav Araya. So the Gemara asks the question on the words of Shmuel, within the Chachamim, Zuqqam Gobel Badim. What does that mean? Why do we have to emphasize that this principle of Amotze Mechavei Alav Araya is such a major principle? It's terech. It's necessary for the following. What if the person who owned the fetus says, I know for a fact that your ox gored my fetus, and the other fellow, the owner of the ox, says, I don't know. So I would have thought, well, that's what's called Bari Bishema. So if I know for a fact and you're not sure, I should win. No, Amotze Chaveh Alav Araya. It's not true. Bari Vishema loves Bari Adif, and that's still called the Suffolk in Mammon, and the rule in Suffolk Mammon is Zekal Gol Bedin, Amotze Chaveh Alav Araya. Inami, the Gemara says. Another reason why the Gemara makes a point of saying Zekal Gol Bedin, Chihadi Yitma, Hamoicha Shon Lechaveh Avinim Zenagchan. If I sell you an ox, and it turns out the ox is Meshugana, the ox is gore, the ox is wild, so people wouldn't buy oxen under those circumstances. Rav Amar Reza Mekachtos. Rav says, I get my money back because you sold me something that's worthless. What am I going to do with a crazy wild ox? It can't function with it. It's going to kill people. Shmuel said, no, Yochel Shiyamel L'Shchita Mechayetiv Lach. Shmuel said, I don't have to give you your money back. I could say to you, I sold you the ox fair and square. Shecht it. If you shecht it, I guarantee it's not going to kill anybody after it's dead. Not going to gore after it's dead. So shecht it, need it, enjoy a barbecue, but it's not my problem. So we have a machlekes, Rav and Shmuel, with the following shiloh. So here we have a mocher and a lokech. I sold you the ox, and you paid me the money for the ox, and now you're yelling and screaming because the mekech toes. There was something wrong. It was a mistake. I bought an ox, and I buy a crazy meshugan ox. So Rav says that's a valid taina, and Shmuel says that's not a valid taina. So what are they arguing about? What is the point of contention between Rav and Shmuel? So the Gemara explains in the 10th of the Mamakamos. Rav Omar, hareze mekech toes, zil basa ruba. Rav says you follow Rove, you follow majority. Rav lived in a place where most people bought oxen to work. So most people buy for 9 out of 10 people buy it for working. So that's a legitimate claim. How am I going to work? How am I going to plow my field with my ox? Every time I take the ox out to plow, it runs away, it goes kills people. So clearly, you sold me something that's worthless. It's like Moshe Levad Vedomeh. If I sell you a car, and then you realize there's no engine in the car, that's a pretty big thing. You know, it's missing, a little paint on the, back of the right back corner or something. The world's not going to come to an end. It's missing an engine, so it's not going to get very far. So that's called the mekech tos. So Rav said, selling an ox that's a crazy meshugan, a wild goring ox that can't be tamed, that can't work, so that's a mekech tos. So why did Shmuel disagree? So Shmuel said, Yachol Shiyom L'Shchit Mechad. Shmuel said, just because most people buy it for work, some people buy it for shchita. And below us lina basaruba, and we do not follow Rove. Why? Kiyas lina basaruba be isura. Rav Mamona laws lina basaruba. Alamotze chavei alav araya. Says Shmuel, the principle of following Rove, we follow the majority. That's true in the realm of kashrus. That's true in Shabbos, tarsa mishpocha. Shayas that come up in Issa v'Heter, say we follow the majority. We've given this example many, many times. Those who live in Tinek will appreciate the example slightly more. So the halacha tells us, if you find a piece of meat on the floor, and you don't know which store it came from, so you count up the different stores and say, this is a kosher store, this is a kosher store, there are 10 kosher stores, there's one treif store, the odds are it came from the kosher store. So meat that didn't, and a Torah for sure you're allowed to eat the piece of meat. So I always give the example, you live in Teaneck, so you find a piece of meat on West Englewood Avenue. Where did it come from? I have no idea. Maybe it came from Doggies, maybe it came from Chickies, maybe it came from Yala, maybe it came, I need some help. You give me names from ETC, and I don't even know all the details as to which meat comes from where. But it could have come from X, Y, and Z, 9 out of 10 stores, and there's always been that one store for my marshal. And one store is called the Caribbean store. There's a corner and the store on the corner right by the plaza and West Englewood called the Caribbean store. So I'm convinced that that store is at Siad Deshmai all these years to remain open, because my marshal otherwise wouldn't work. So you find one piece of meat and 9 out of 10 are kosher and 1 is treif. So I was horrified a couple of weeks ago to find out that the Caribbean store closed. It sold to a treifa seafood store. So a treifa seafood store, I have to change the entire marshal. You find a piece of sushi on the floor, you're not sure, did it come from sushi mitzuyan? I can't even get the marshal right. So, but bear with me, Rabbi said. So 9 out of 10 stores are kosher, 1 store is treif, you follow Rove. So come Shmuel and says, that's true by treifas, that's true by Shabbos, by Taras Mishpacha. It's not true by Mominus. What's the rule that governs Mominus, says Shmuel? Hamoitze mechaveira alav araya. End of discussion. So Shmuel is so convinced Hamoitze mechaveira alav araya is true, even as a rove against you, it doesn't matter, you can't be motzi mamon based on rove. How do we paskin la locha? So when it comes to Rav and Shmuel and Hilchus Mominus, the Gemara says Hilchus like a Shmuel bedini. So halacha lemais, that's how we paskin Shulchan Aruch, that ain hocham mamon achar rove. You cannot use a rove to take away somebody's money. We just keep on yelling and screaming Hamoitze mechaveira alav araya. However, this application of Hamoitze mechaveira alav araya, ain hocham mamon achar rove, is in the following case. Let's say here I have cash in my pocket. Reuven already paid Shimon for the shore. You want to get that cash out of the other person's pocket, you better be very convincing. Rove is not going to do the job. Hamoitze mechaveira alav araya. But we spent a lot of time this year in Cheskes Abatim discussing the following. Most of Cheskes Abatim revolves around not Sveikas in terms of metaltolin, whose cash is it, whose animal it is, but rather it revolves around Sveikas and whose karka it is, whose piece of land, whose piece of real estate is this. So what would that locha be in the following case? We have a shayla nuchas real estate, shayla nuchas karka. Who owns the karka? And we have rove pointing in one direction rather than the other direction. So there is a principle that the Rambam in the 11th of the Rambam Kamos, the Rambam sums up three blot of Ches Abatim. So the Rambam tells us, Kol ha-kakol se-yiduos le-baleyen, afa-ben-shin at-ta-tachas yad-acherim harein b'cheskes baleyen. There is the following halacha that governs real estate. It's what's called Cheskes Marakama. We know for a fact that Reuben used to own this land. How do we know this? Well, 6 months ago he owned the land and nobody was questioning it. 5 years ago we know that his father owned the land. 20 years ago we know his grandfather owned the land. This has been the family land, family possession for Deridaris. And we never had any question. And all of a sudden Shimon comes and starts raising a red flag. No. I bought the land. And guess what? Not only does Shimon claim I bought the land, he's actually sitting on the land. He's sitting here on the land claiming that he bought the land. So the first thing we ask him, well, where are your witnesses? I can't find witnesses. Where's your document? I can't find my document. So that doesn't bode very well for Shimon. And the basic premise of the entire first 10 blot of Cheskes Abatim is that the Cheskes Marakama wins. The person who is previously the rightful owner of that field, he wins the field, hands down. And the other person, 5 minutes remaining. Okay, no problem. All right. Okay. We're better than football. Football, they only give you 2 minutes. So we get 5 minutes. So we get 2 minutes. Oh boy, okay, open up my mouth. So now we have to knock off all the Cheskes Abatim in the next 3.5 minutes. So so comes Aloch and tells us, what if you have a Dintur and Karkas powers? Reuven has a Cheskes Marakama, but Shimon right now is sitting on the land. So pretty much, Reuven's going to win. Reuven's going to win the entire, he has the Cheskes Marakama. What if Shimon could come forth with the following argument? He's going to prove to us, not beyond the shadow of a doubt, but he's going to prove to us with a rove. He has a rove on his side. The odds are he'll put together a whole shtickle, get the best lawyers, they'll put together the statistical majority is pointing in his direction, he should win the Dintura. So what's a take on such a Dintura? So if it would have been yesterday, I would have said, Ein Hochel Mabracha Rove. Means the game's over. That it's a Muchzok, it's a Chazoko, the other fellow has a Cheskes Marakama, and Rove's not going to help us in Dini Mamanus. So this was a big, big Machlekes Acharonim. So the Balak Tzos, the Sheif Shmaitza, has a tremendous Chiddush. The Sheif Shmaitza, Balak Tzos claims, is that maybe under these circumstances, Rove will actually work based on the following. How do you know that you follow a Cheskes Marakama in the first place? Where did that idea come from? So the Ketel suggests that Cheskes Barakama is not really a din of dinim mamunus. It's not really muchsa. Muchsa applies to metaltalin. I'm holding on to this bottle of water. I'm wearing this jacket. I'm holding on to this watch. That's called muchsa. Cheskes Barakama, you can never really hold on to karka. So what right do we have to think that you are the rightful owner of the karka? So there is a principle, the 12th of the Ramakomos, Menon Milsa Diom Rabbana Ukim Milsa Chazokei. How do we know that we follow status quos in Aloha? If something used to be this way last week, we assume it probably hasn't changed. Amr b'shmol b'nachmeni rabbi yonison amakra v'yotze ha'kohen min abayas ha'pesach ha'bayas v'yotze ha'bayas shivas yomim. The Torah says that the Kohen comes to check out whether a house has a nega on it, nega tzaraz, and he measures it and he sees it's about to say the word tamei, and then he holds back and he doesn't say the word tamei. He goes outside and he says tamei. Yes, the Gemara Duma the Nafik, the Asa Batzlishura, maybe it shrunk in the last 20 seconds. Nah, that's a joke. El Allah Mishim Dominion, okay, Chazokay. The answer is we followed the Chazokah. That the status quo was that it used to be the following size. We assume it remains the same size. So the same is true when it comes to Dinim Mamonos. We can assume whoever used to own the property remains to own the property. Comes the Sheikh Shmaitz and says, that we're going to have to say the 13th of Ramakomos Be'al Peh, without catching our breath in the middle, that the 13th of Ramakomos tells us that whenever you're dealing with a Chazaka Me'ikara, so Rove can actually overcome a Chazaka Me'ikara. So therefore, says the Sheh Shmaitza, a Rove could beat out a Cheskes Barakama, because the Cheskes Barakama is not even Muchsuch. It's a Chazaka of status quo, and it's neat unto the parish of Rove. So the bottom line is, whenever you have a shant in your mamunus, you have to ask yourself, is this a suffix mamun? Is it a muchsok? Is it not a muchsok? Is it a robe? Is it not a robe? So you got to try to plug in all these lumpish of things. The next 30 and a half seconds that are maybe remaining to me, as long as I keep everybody pen distracted, so I'll conclude with the following. It was a famous shayla, it was a question that was posed to Yonatan Eibishitz. He said, how come you Jews keep the Torah? The robe of the people in the world don't. Most of the Ummah's Olam don't accept the Torah. So why do you keep the Torah for? Don't you follow robes? So Yonatan Eibishitz said that the rule of the robe was given to someone who has a suffix. We don't have any sveikas. We know the Torah's embassy. So what a perfect way to end the sugyas of sveikas is that we have sveikas about a lot of things. Doubts are okay in life except for Torah. In Torah, there's no sveikas. Everything is vados. We know for a fact Torah and mitzvahs is the emes, and therefore we can live our entire lives without even a mashu of a suffix. That the life that we have chosen, Baruch Hashem, is the emes lamito.